For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection at Golf Links and Kolb and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Spiro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Spiro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Spiro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at spiroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Today we present previously aired segments that we think are worth a second listen. A new book titled The Empathy Factor focuses on building a more compassionate and empathetic workplace. The author is Marie Miyashiro, a Tucson-based award-winning business and communication strategist. Miyashiro is an internationally recognized business consultant, facilitator, writer, keynote speaker, and nonviolent communication practitioner with over 28 years' experience. Miyashiro, thank you very much. Marie, thank you very much.
You're doing great.
I'm getting all confused with the M's and the N's.
Yeah.
Why did you write The Empathy Factor?
Well, you know, I work with thousands of people in the workplace, and one of the things I saw, Bill, is how high the level is of unhappiness, dissatisfaction, fear, and The Empathy Factor is all about how to create more connection between people for two reasons. One is for personal happiness, you know, personal contentment, personal empowerment while you're working. And the other reason is because it turns out that all the organizational research is proving that this leads to greater productivity. So it's a positive for the individual and it's a positive for the team or the organization. And I felt inspired, having learned about empathy and seeing the power of it, to name it and make it okay for people to think that it's a workplace professional skill. It's becoming more and more of something that companies are training people in, empathic skills.
Marie, was there an idea that, was there a something that, kind of a trigger point that you figured that this would be a good idea for a book?
Yeah, you know, I met Marshall Rosenberg, who is the developer of nonviolent communication, and NVC for short is a practice that's not widely known within the business world.
I had never heard of it, nonviolent communication.
Yes, yeah. It's actually very well known in Europe and other parts of the country, and a very active community of people who practice a language and consciousness, really, a philosophy of how to hold all needs as that matter. So your needs matter, my needs matter, and the main thing that I want to do is humanize the workplace. When I go into work with teams and they have conflict, we find right away that if you can humanize, find ways to humanize the other person, the conflict disappears. All of conflict revolves around dehumanizing each other. All of violence revolves around that concept. So the moment we can make each other more human to each other, we're on our way to both feeling better within ourselves and also being more productive.
Maybe some of our politicians who are listening could take some lessons from this.
The politics are especially challenging because so much of the dialogue doesn't occur in person. It occurs over the airwaves or, you know, through the courts, something like this. So, yeah, one-on-one or, you know, being with groups of people, that's where resolution and human connection can really happen.
Some might be saying, well, perhaps empathy isn't doesn't have a place in a work environment. Mm-hmm. After all, a work environment should be all about business, not really empathetic to your coworkers' needs.
Yeah, well, you know, when I hear that, and sometimes we do hear that, one of the things I'm really excited to share with people is the organizational research. If you start looking at what the studies are turning out, Bill, about what makes teams really productive and what also leads to larger margins of profit, it's about empathy. Now, you can call it other things. You can call it connection. That's a word I often use. You know, so how we connect to each other, how you connect to the consumer, these are huge areas of importance in terms of business. And also how you connect with how you're serving the community. So every company wants to make a profit, and I don't believe anybody wants to do it at the expense intentionally of others if they could find a different way. So this process is also about helping companies do what I call life-affirming purpose. You know, finding how it is that they can make a profit in the world while still holding that everyone's needs matter too.
How about compassion? Is that the next level of the empathetic connection?
Yeah. Yes, I would say that empathy, we're kind of hardwired to do that. Mm-hmm. You and I are born with that in us. That's why when someone is in pain, you know, it's something that we can feel for them or about them. Compassion is the next step. Compassion is, to me, empathy in action. So by beginning to see each other as human, that's the first step, which is what the nonviolent communication process does. And then the next step is also then to act from that place, to see that someone might be in pain or to even celebrate with someone. You know, empathy doesn't have to be only about when it's painful. It can also be, you can have empathic connection when you're celebrating with somebody that something's going on for them that's really a great joy for them, too.
Marie Miyashiro is with us. She's the author of The Empathy Factor. You grew up in Honolulu, Hawaii, and went on to Northwestern. What about your own background that made you feel that this is an area that you could help others with?
I had a couple of experiences early in my career where I worked for two very large companies. One of them was the largest communications firm in the world, and the other one was one of the largest publishing firms in the world, Time Inc. in New York City. And when I worked for those companies, I liked the people, but I saw that the system kind of didn't really support me being fully human in them. And from there, I went on to took my consulting practice on my own since 1985.
And it stifled the creative process, didn't it?
It stifles the creative process, and it also doesn't lead to the best outcome of productivity for the company. That's the piece that's really interesting to me and others like me, consultants who are helping companies become both more profitable and also more humane. They go together.
When I first heard about this book, I was attracted to it, not just because it could help business people, but I think it could help any of our listeners.
Yes.
I mean, you don't necessarily have to be in a big business or a big corporate environment to get something out of the empathy.
No, we work with a number of small businesses and sole practitioners too. But the piece that I really want to talk about is the connection between judgment and happiness.
Go ahead.
So the more judgment we have of someone else or other things, and by judgment I mean moralistic judgment. So we think something is really, really bad, and we get angry about it. It turns out that it's not the event or the person that's causing our anger. It's our own thoughts. So if you have a lot of thoughts about wrongness in others or in a situation, the research is showing you're going to tend to be less happy. So what is the need that they're meeting by having these judgmental thoughts? And it usually has to do with something about rightness and wrongness. So what we find when I work with teams is the more we can help them move away from thinking in terms of right and wrong and black and white, and really just seeing people and even circumstances from a more human point of view, two things happen. They tend to feel more content, and then they're also more productive because their skill to collaborate with someone else is much higher. It's not easy to collaborate with someone who has a lot of judgments.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So how can my listeners get a hold of the Empathy Factor?
The best way is our website. It's called www.empathyfactoratwork.com. That's empathyfactoratwork.com. And there's a link there that goes straight to how you can buy the book, and some videos and talks about more about this topic, and other information that they can get about the book and tips on how they can do it themselves. And I think the main thing I want to...
Yeah, your bottom line message.
Yeah, the bottom line message is empathy is a learnable professional skill. Anyone can learn it. The processes outlined in the book take you through step by step. And as far as my publisher and I know, it's the only book that's ever been published that shows you how to do step by step to learn empathy and grow that empathy muscle, the connection muscle, in a workplace setting. So we're really pleased about that.
The book is The Empathy Factor. Marie Miyashiro is the author, and the book is available at theempathyfactoratwork.com. Got it. Marie, thank you very much for being with us, and good luck with the book, The Empathy Factor.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be here.
Thank you very much.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day. Today we present previously aired segments that we think are worth a second listen. Local food movements and farmers markets have been springing up all over the country, and especially here in Tucson, and the desert dwellers in the Southwest are taking a new look at native plants. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is writer Carolyn Neathammer, whose fifth cookbook with a Southwest theme is now out from the University of Arizona Press. The book is titled Cooking the Wild Southwest, Delicious Recipes for Desert Plants. She is also the author of The New Southwest Cookbook, American Indian Cooking, and The Prickly Pear Cookbook. Carolyn Neathammer joining us now on the Buckmaster Show. Carolyn, good to see you.
Oh, thank you.
Tell me how this book came about. How many years in the making was this one?
Actually, the University of Arizona Press called and asked me if I would update a book that I did 24 years ago called The Tumbleweed Gourmet. And when I began looking at it, I realized it was somewhat out of date, and the way we eat has changed considerably in the last 24 years, and there's been new research on some of these wild plants. So basically, I started over about a year and a half ago and began developing new recipes and making sure I had all the latest scientific information on these plants.
It was 1970, I believe, when you first started taking a hard look at some of these native plants. What was it that resonated with you at that time? What put you into that direction?
Well, although I'm a Tucsonan, I had lived a little while in Northern California. And, oh my goodness, there are so many things to eat there, berries and nuts and greens. And then I came back to Tucson and began looking around and wondering what people ate before Kmart and Safeway. And what it turned out, I began talking to Native American women because they were the ones, you know, that lived out on our desert, and began learning from them.
And you're not advocating that everybody should suddenly develop a wild food diet entirely. You're talking more of a supplemental diet.
Right. We can't live like the Tohono O'odham did 200 years ago. There's too many of us. We have other things to do. We can't spend our whole time gathering. But if you do go out there, there's many reasons. Number one, there's delicious wild foods out there. They're very easy to gather. Number two, they're adapted to us and the way we live. They're full of vitamins and minerals. And also, when you get out there on the desert, even if you're gathering just a few things, it gives you a better relationship to the way we live. And if you go on a hike, you the choya. Last spring, we gathered those delicious choya buds, and we'll do it again next year.
Carolyn Niethammer is with us. Her fifth cookbook is out with a Southwest theme. It's from the University of Arizona Press. The book is titled Cooking the Wild Southwest. You focus on nearly two dozen ingredients. Let's talk about some of the ingredients that are really the centerpiece of this book and the recipes.
Well, of course, prickly pears are something that is so obvious. We see them everywhere, and many of them have them in our yards. So that's one. That's easy to gather. It's easy to prepare. It's absolutely delicious. It is so healthy. It helps with your cholesterol. It helps with your blood sugar, your triglycerides, and it's easy. It's easy. Also, in the spring, the prickly pear pads, the nopalitos, are delicious. Another one that's very easy and we see everywhere is mesquite pods. And, you know, when I first started this work back in 1970, I went out and talked to a few Tohono O'odham ladies, and they were middle-aged ladies. They remembered cooking with their grandmothers, and they began teaching me about mesquite. And, you know, I think there were only a few, you know, old Tohono O'odhams out there that were still doing it. But, you know, in the last 25 years, people have learned about mesquite throughout the Southwest, and now with desert harvesters having their hammer mills and grinding them up, the last time I went to the desert harvesters grinding, they started at 9. I got there at 9. There was a line of 25 people already ahead of me. So while the Tohono O'odham are looking at mesquite and eating it again, the rest of us are as well.
You're also talking about acorns.
Yes, acorns are something that has a high food value, and they grow on Mexicans call them bellotas. They're little teeny weeny acorns, and they grow on the live oaks or the emery oaks. They have a stronger flavor than some of the other foods, and you should taste them. Some people love them. Some people find them a little too bitter. But they are something that the people of our region have eaten for probably millennia, certainly hundreds of years.
You've got some fantastic gingerbread recipe, too, in here. There's some beautiful pictures as well that on the cover showing some of the goodies. A lot of these recipes don't take a tremendous amount of work. I mean, I'm opening the page here to saguaro breakfast porridge, basically three ingredients.
Right.
Quarter of a cup of saguaro seeds, a quarter cup raw oatmeal flakes, and then a cup of water.
Absolutely. Of course, the hardest thing about that is gathering the saguaro fruits. And those, of course, come ripe in the hottest part of our summer. So I get up usually about dawn and gather my collecting stuff and head out to the saguaro forest on the edge of town. And then by the time, it's 7:30 or so, it's getting pretty toasty out there. Mm. So you have to get out and get your saguaros early.
What are some of your favorite recipes in the book?
Oh, some of the favorites are easy ones are the prickly pear citrus marinade and sauce. That has just a few ingredients, and it's very, very easy. The mesquite apple coffee cake is delicious. That
getting hungry.
Yeah. Oh, and everybody loves it. And there's a wonderful mesquite banana cake. And that one takes a little effort. You have to buy cake flour if you want it to turn out nice. But oh my word, it is absolutely delicious for a special occasion.
And then there's the barrel cactus and pineapple cake.
Yes, yes, that's that kind of a breakfast cake as well.
Hint, hint to my producer, Rosemary Brandt. She knows that I like kind of a pineapple upside down cake. So,
well, that's pretty much what it is, yeah. Uh-huh.
Where do you go from here now? The whole movement, the local food, buy locally, it really has grown tremendously, hasn't it, Carolyn?
Absolutely. And one thing that, a word that we're hearing now, that is our food shed. And now that's a word that's been around since the early 20th century, but its usage now is expanding. Your food shed, it refers to everything between where the food that you eat is produced and where it's consumed. And that includes the land it grows on, the how it has to travel to get to you, the markets, and kitchen where it's cooked. These days, our food shed is usually the entire globe. We've got grapes from Chile and pineapples from Thailand. But the important thing is that we begin to pull together things closest to us. And now we have these wonderful farmers markets, and we have farms surrounding Tucson, so we really can eat lots of local vegetables.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't necessarily have to gather all of these items yourself. There are places where you can buy the ingredients, correct?
Oh, yes. There's farmers markets. My friend Muffin Burgess always has a stand at St. Philip's Market. Native Seed Search has wonderful selection of foods. The grocery store Food City has fabulous Nopalitos. So, I always felt that I had to do these things all by myself. I had to gather them from scratch. But my husband and I traveled in the Mexican highlands this summer, and I saw that the Mexican housewives don't do that. The market ladies are out there. They're cleaning the nopales and cutting them into small dice, and they just, cook them, pick them up all cleaned, and take them home. So, sure, make it easy on yourself.
The book is called Cooking the Wild Southwest, Delicious Recipes for the Desert Plants. Carolyn Niethammer is the author. It's published by the University of Arizona Press. That wraps up this special Thanksgiving edition of the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe holiday.